As we start our teaching this morning, would you take a moment, and we're going to do a little survey, raise our hand kind of thing. Lift your hand up if you believe in the power of prayer. Yep, stick them up. Look around the room. This is not, you know, one of those personal moments. This is a public one. Okay, you believe in the power of, okay. I want to add a second question to this. Put them down if you want. Here's the second question. How many of you know that you should probably pray more? Okay, look around the room again.
Yep.
Kind of interesting, isn't it? Like all of us, if we're followers of Jesus, we really do believe in a God who hears and responds to our faith. And yet, almost all of us would say that we should be more engaged in talking and praying to God. Isn't that interesting? You looked around the room, and you saw that all of us, I think prayer is important, but I also think I need to do more of this. Okay, before we go into prayer, more in a moment, what I want to do is review where we've been the last couple weeks. So a couple weeks ago, we started reading through the book of Jonah. If you were here, you could remember. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Jonah chapter 1, where we looked at what we might call a reluctant prophet. And if you remember in verse 1, it says this, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah and said, 'Go and preach to the people of Nineveh,' those wicked people, their wickedness has come before me." And God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach, and Jonah basically replied, "Ain't gonna happen, God. Like, no way, no how, I am not going there." Jonah instead found a ship, and he went as far as he could in the other direction. In fact, I want to show you again on the map, just so you get it. Jonah was in the city of Joppa, and God said, "Go east to Nineveh," probably about 850 kilometers. And he didn't go east. Instead, he went the other way on a ship, 4,000 kilometers as far as he could in the other direction. And we learned this principle last week. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. You can always find a ship sailing in the wrong direction. So Jonah is on this boat, and God sends this really big storm, and the storm is so big that it's about to tear apart the ship. And Jonah says, "It's my fault, throw me overboard." And the sailors who didn't want to do it, they tried everything else possible, but they realized, well, yeah, it is Jonah's fault, so they threw Jonah overboard. And when they did, the storm completely went calm. And all of the sailors, they looked on and they said, "Well, if God can do that, we want to know that God. We want to serve that God." And they turned their hearts to God. Good news for them. But Jonah, he's still in the ocean. And it looked very, very, very hopeless for him. And so there Jonah is, overboard because he was disobeying God. Now there's this unusual verse at the end of chapter 1. We didn't look at it last week, so I saved it for you this week. We'll throw it up on the screen. Here's what it is. There's this unusual verse that says, "Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights." Now let's make sure we understand where we are in this story. Chapter 1, Jonah ran from God. Now he's down in the belly of a fish. Chapter 2, Jonah prays to God. Jonah 2:1 tells us this. From inside the fish, what did Jonah do? What's it say? Jonah prayed to the Lord. Jonah prayed. So in chapter 1, Jonah runs. That's the summary. And in chapter 2, Jonah prays. That's the summary. And so I want to remind you who's the main character in the book of Jonah. The main character is God. It's the Lord. And the very last verse of chapter 1 says this, "The Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah." The Lord provided. That's funny to me, because can I be real with you? If I was on a cruise ship, like say Lisa and I, we went on this trip, and we spent all the money. We're on a cruise ship, and on this cruise ship, we're playing shuffleboard, and things get a little bit crazy, and I fall overboard, right? Wild game of shuffleboard, and now I'm in the water. Like when I'm down there, I'm thinking, the Lord provided me with a life jacket. Right, that would be amazing. Or even better, the Lord provided me with that orange Zodiac with the five crew members that lowered it down on the side and they rushed over to my help. That this is the Lord's provision. Like or maybe the Lord provided me with an island. Like I'm right next to this tropical place. So just paddle over there. Yeah, I'm all good. Or even better, the Lord provided me with a mermaid. An ugly mermaid, right? An average looking mermaid that swam on top of the water so I could... Anyways, I am not looking for the Lord to provide for me a fish. I mean, if you're in the middle of the ocean and this, something like a big fish, a whale or something, it swallows you, that in my mind doesn't feel like a praise report. Like, I'm like, oh, praise the Lord, I'm in a fish. Like, I'm not thinking that's the provision. In my opinion, that feels like a punishment. I don't even know what's in the middle of a fish that big. Like, is it fish juice or acid or belly guts? Have dead digested other fish? Like, I don't know what's in there. And I'd be thinking, like, God, why did you let this happen? Like, why in the world am I going through this? Like, I know I caused it, but your rescue plan is this? And if I can take this little rabbit trail a little further, there may be some of you who tend to think what I thought for a long time. I thought that pain or discomfort was a punishment. Think about it. To Jonah, the big fish probably seemed like nothing but another layer on top, a big problem. Here I am in the middle of, I didn't want this. I didn't call on this. This fish is a problem. All I was trying to do was go the other way. But who provided the fish? The main character of the story provided the fish. The Lord provided the fish. And I want to tell somebody here that sometimes what we call a problem, God calls provision. Sometimes God may provide in ways that we didn't choose and we didn't expect. And God provides a fish and it swallows Jonah, and Jonah never planned on being fish food. This isn't what I wanted. And what I know, because I know many of your stories, and what I know, because just the number of us in this room, there are some of you right now that you're in a similar place. You're going through something that you would have never, ever chosen. How did we get here? God, I didn't want to be here in my marriage. I didn't want to be in the middle of this faith crisis. This isn't what I wanted. I didn't choose to be in the belly of this mess. And I want to remind you that our good God doesn't always give us what we want, but our God does give us what we need. And what we need most, always, always, what we need most is Him. It's Him. From the belly of a fish, Jonah remembered that he needed the Lord. And God gives us what we need. He always gives us what we need. And what we need most is Him. So the Lord provided a fish and swallowed Jonah up. And here he is by himself. He's about to drown. Can you imagine the situation? Like, tossed overboard, the storm stops, the ship's somewhere else now, and he's just floating there. Like, he's completely helpless. How long can he tread water? He can't do anything to save his life. He can't, like,
doggy paddle for 7 days. It isn't going to work. There's no shore to swim to. Jonah can't do anything about this problem. Like, whatever he was proud of in his life, maybe let's just say he had a great college degree, had a great education. Smart man. His education can't save him. Maybe Jonah had long tenure at work. Like, he'd been working the same career. He was one of the people in upper management, or he had a great skill set that he had developed doing these things. Those skills, they don't apply here. Maybe he had lots of friends, right? Jonah, popular guy, he had all this community around him. They couldn't save him. If we modernize it, maybe finally his retirement fund and his stocks, they're finally doing well. We will be set. I can't save him. Jonah got to the place where some of us are right now. And that is the place where only the Lord could help him. Only the Lord could help him. On his own, he was completely helpless. But just because Jonah was helpless doesn't mean he was hopeless. Because there's a big difference. Just because he was helpless didn't mean that he'd run out of hope in the God who always gives us what we need. Now was he in a mess? Yeah, he's in big trouble. Like, he caused a huge situation. And some of you, and unfortunately right now, you might be in a spot in your life where things are not going well. And you say, my marriage. Someone might say, it's in bad shape. If God doesn't do something soon, I don't know what's going to happen. My marriage, you might say, is in trouble. And someone else might say, well, have you seen inflation? Like, my paycheck hasn't caught up to inflation. Financially, we're in trouble. There's nothing left to cut in the budget. There are close to me. There are people close to me. They'd say, we're in trouble with our health. Some of you have kids, and they're not following God right now, and your kids might be doing something crazy, and you say, I have a child who's in trouble. I want to say this. No matter why you might find yourself in trouble, it might be completely your fault, like Jonah's. It might not be your fault at all. No matter what is going on, the Bible says this in James 5:13. Is there any among you who are in trouble? Say it aloud with me. Let them Is there anybody here in trouble? Scripture tells us, let them pray. And I want to declare it to you that if you are in trouble, it's time to pray. And I'm going to tell you it again. If you're in trouble, if you are in trouble, it's time to pray. And I want to say it one more time, because sometimes we hear these things, but they don't register. If you are in trouble, it's time to pray. Or even if you're not in trouble, it's time to pray. Someone say here, it's time to pray. Notice, nudge your neighbor. Like, look, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. This is so important. Notice, James doesn't say, when you're in trouble, go home and worry. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, oh no, when you're in trouble, go and find someone to complain to. He doesn't say it's time to write a long post and put it on social media talking about all the things that are going on that you don't agree with. He doesn't say when you're in trouble, it's time to go and blame everybody around you. No. This is what James writes. He says, when you're in trouble, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. So as we read through the story, when Jonah was in trouble, what did he pray? Well, let me show you exactly what he prayed. Jonah 2:2, he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. And what did God do? He answered me. From the deep in the realm of the dead, Jonah said, I called to God for help, and you listened to my cry. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, he calls out, and the first thing he does is he prays to God. When you're in trouble, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. And the rest of chapter 2, from verse 2 on, he prays all the way down. The next 9 verses in this chapter, that's what he does. He just prays. This is his prayer. And I want to show you his prayer. I won't read it all, but I'll start at the top. See, he prays, God, you hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled around me, and your waves and breakers swept over me. And if we jump down to the next paragraph, he raised the roots of the mountains, and I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. And if we jump down to the bottom, he says, but with shouts of grateful praise, I will sacrifice to you. When I vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And what I like about this prayer is that it sounds super spiritual. Right? How many of you have been around someone who's like amazing at praying? Right? When they pray, it sounds spiritual. You've been around someone like that? I see lots of heads nodding. Like that person, if there were sponsorships, like say it was sports and you're NASCAR and you got the stickers all over you, this is who sponsored me to pray. These people, they're like Holy Spirit. Right there. The logo on their leather suit that says the Holy Spirit sponsored me to pray. Like, this is one of those kinds of prayers. And I think about it and I think, when I pray, I mean, that's a good prayer. But when I'm praying, I'm like, God, it's me again. And I'm trying to not lose focus because often I lose focus. Things distract me. And God, I'm coming again. And this is not what Jonah's doing. Like, dude is a prayer. When some people pray, they really, really know how to pray. Do you know why they often know how to pray? Do you know the most effective thing that we can pray? In many cases, the most effective thing you can pray is actually praying the Word of God, praying the Scriptures, praying the Bible. Now, a lot of times when you look at someone and you're like, I really like the way they're praying. Do you know what they're praying? They're praying the Word of God. They're declaring the Word of God back to God over their situation because the Word of God is living, it's active, it's powerful, it's sharper than the Word of God never returns void. And one of the most powerful things that you can ever pray is you can pray the Word of God. And in this story, that's exactly what Jonah doing. In Jonah chapter 2, Jonah was praying, and what do you think he was praying? He was praying the Psalms. That's what he's doing. He was praying God's word. He was praying the things that he had worked through and memorized. And I want to show you this because this could revolutionize your prayer life. Let me show you how we pray. In verse 2, he said, I called to the Lord and he answered me. That's Psalm 3:4. I called to the Lord, and he answered me. He's praying this psalm. Let me show you another one. He says, deep in the realm of the dead, God, I called for your help. That's Psalm 16. You will not abandon me in the realm of the dead. He said this, I have been banished from your sight. And the psalm says the same thing. The psalmist wrote it. I'm cut off from your sight. Jonah said this, the waters closed over me. That's Psalm 69. The waters have come up to my neck. Jonah said, those who cling to worthless idols. And the psalmist, he said, I hate those who cling to worthless idols. Over and over and over again, what I have vowed, he said, I will make good. That's Psalm 116. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord. Do you see this? It's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. And when you're in that trouble, it's time to pray. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. And when you don't know what to pray, this is what we should pray. We pray the word of God. And Jonah prayed the word of God. So you could be sitting there and you're like, wow, that's awesome, but I don't know those obscure verses. Like, how would I know to connect those things together? How would I do this? Like, the only verse I really know is John 3:16. Like, how do I pray the word of God? Well, let me give you a tip. Take your phone, because most of you, if not all of you, have one, and download the YouVersion Bible app. It looks like that, if you can see that far. And on the top of the homepage, do you love the Bible app? Yes, I do. On the top of the homepage, can't get there. There we go. There is a search function. And all you need to do is type in there what you're going through. Just type in there, search in there. Search in there. You might just type in like fear or anxiety or depression or whatever it is, and then it will spit back to you some Bible verses. And more often than not, when I've done this, it's the Holy Spirit talking to me, because God gives me exactly what I need exactly in that moment. And then I can take those scriptures that come up from that app, and I can just start praying His word. And you might pray, God, I'm feeling anxious, so therefore I cast my cares on You, God, because You care for me. And you might pray, God, help me not to be anxious, because Your word tells me not to be anxious about anything, but with everything, my prayer and petition, I submit my request to You. And I thank You, God, that You promised to me that the peace from heaven will guard my heart, my mind, my soul in Jesus Christ. That's just a verse from the Bible. And I changed the wording to be from me instead of the guy that wrote it down. Your word says you've not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and sound mind. God, I'm praying Your word. I'm believing Your word. And Jonah cried out to the Lord, and the Lord listened to his cry. Jonah prayed, and he prayed the word of God. And spoiler alert, like when we read through this, he said, God heard me. But if you look carefully, nothing happened. At least not immediately. When he prayed, this encourages me so much, because sometimes I get so frustrated with God's timing. Anybody else here ever been frustrated with God's timing? Yeah. Like, God, I'm telling You it's best now. And God's like, yeah, You don't know what I know. God, like right now, I need this. And He's saying, I'll give it to you when it's best on my side. Jonah prayed in verse 1. God heard him in verse 1. And there was no visible miracle. He prays in verse 1, and you don't see a visible miracle until the very end of chapter 2 in verse 10. You don't see the miracle until verse 10, which makes verse 9 such an incredible, meaningful verse. Because in verse 9, Jonah says this: but with shouts of grateful praise, with shouts of grateful praise, I'm shouting to You, I'm worshiping You, I can't contain it. With shouts of grateful praise, I will sacrifice to You, he says. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say to the Lord, salvation comes from the Lord. And what's so powerful about verse 9 is that this praise comes before the miracle. I know how it works. I'm sure you know how it works. It's easy to praise God after the miracle. Right? God, You came through again. Awesome. I praise You for it. But it takes faith praise God before the provision. And there's someone here, and I don't know who you are, but you're going to praise God with verse 9 kind of faith. You might be stuck in the belly, but your praise is real praise. You're going to step out. You will step out and praise before the provision. And that's what I'm doing right now. I pray for my kids. I've got 4 girls. I'm praying for their health and for miracles, praying for the provision and the power of God to do what he can do. I see the things that are going through my church, and I get on my knees and I just weep and I say, God, you have to lead us through these things because we can't do it on our own. We've been trying and it doesn't work. And I know he's a good God and that he hears the cries of our hearts. And I believe by faith that God will answer. And this is me praising God for who he is. Not for what he's done in the past, as incredible as that is, but I will praise him for who he is. This is the faith I want. This is verse 9 kind of faith. And then Jonah continues with the same verse, with the faith that he's brought, and he says this. He says, What I have vowed to God, I will make good. God, I was running from you. I was disobeying you. I wasn't listening to you. But what I vowed, I will be a Christ follower. What I vowed, I will make good. And I love this because at this point, Jonah didn't make any excuses. He made it right. And this is for somebody here. You're not doing what is right now. There's a part of you, you're being disobedient to God. It's a sin of commission. You're literally sinning against the word of God. Or maybe it's a sin of omission, meaning God prompted you to do something and you didn't go do it. Or maybe you're just taking God for granted. Well, yeah, of course he's there. I know him. I love him. But you put him up on the shelf. And you know you're not living in a way, or at least in one little part of your life that is right. And Jonah, he made it right. He made it right. It's time for someone here to stop blaming whatever you're blaming, to stop blaming whoever you're blaming and make it right. It's time to make it right. God, you want me to go? I'm going to go. God, you want me to repent? Then I will repent. God, you want me to apologize to someone that I've wronged? I will. God, you want me to stop sinning sexually? God, I will. I'll stop dishonoring your word and sinning sexually. God, you want me to stop taking you for granted? It's time to make it right. It's time to make it right. What I vowed, I will make right. And Jonah prayed. And then in verse 9, he praised. And finally in verse 10, the last chapter, or the last verse of chapter 2, it finally says this. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Can we pause for a moment here and say two things? Number one, that's amazing. That is incredible. And number two, that's gross. like that's disgusting, right? Like he lived in the belly of that fish for 3 days and 3 nights and then he gets puked out on shore. That's amazing, and it's disgusting. Like, I have seen things rotting for 3 days because they don't have enough oxygen, and I'm sure the inside of that belly. Imagine 3 days and 3 nights, and he's in there praying, and as we read through this, verse 1, what's he doing? He's praying. In verse 2, he's praying. And verse 3, he kept praying. In verse 4, he kept praying. Verse 5, Jonah's still praying in verse 5, right? Day 1, he's praying. Evening 1, he kept praying. Night 1, he prayed. Morning 2, he prayed. And midday too, he's praying. And this is a message for somebody here. You've been praying for a long time and you're not seeing anything. And I want to remind you of the principle of God, that while you're waiting, God is still working. While you're praying and while you're believing and while you're waiting, God is still working. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean that God isn't still on the throne. And because at the right time, God commanded the fish. At the right time, God commanded the fish, and the fish vomited Jonah out at the right time. And this reminds me that when it's not God's time, you can't force it. But when it is God's time, you can't stop it. Our God is a good God. Our God is always on time. While you're waiting, our God is working. Verse 1, and the Lord heard his prayer. But God didn't do what he asked him to do until verse 10. And if you're praying and you're still praying and you're praying and you're still praying, I need this, God, I'm still praying. God, did you forget? God, have you heard me? He hears you the first time. And when we're persistent, like the widow in Luke 18, we just keep coming back. God, I'm reminding you of your word. God, by faith, I continue to believe. God, I know you hear the cries of your people. And at the right time, God commanded the fish. Now, 3 days and three nights. That's how many days he was in the belly of the fish. Three days, three nights. Raise your hand if you've ever heard that somewhere else. 3 days, three nights. You know where this is going. But I want to remind you of it. Because that reminder, that memory, the thought of it, that encourages us. I want to remind you of 3 days, three nights. Jonah, he lived somewhere about 785 BC, 750, 800 years before the birth of Christ. And here we see in the Old Testament a foreshadow of what Jesus talked about in the New Testament. He said it in Matthew 12, when the Pharisees, they're like, hey, Jesus, we want a sign. Give us a sign that you are God. And Jesus answered, and he said this, a wicked and adulterous generation asked for a sign, but none will be given it except for the sign of the prophet of Jonah. For Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish. So the Son of Man, that's Jesus, will be there 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Well, when? When? After he becomes sin for us and he dies on the cross and he's buried and Jesus does battle against the forces of hell and 3 days and three nights later, the stone is rolled away and the women look in there and the tomb is empty. Why? Because our God raised Jesus from the dead. And remember what Jonah said. Remember what he said. He said, where does salvation come from? Salvation comes from the Lord. You see, when Jonah didn't deserve it, when he'd been running from God, God saved him. When Jonah couldn't save himself, God saved him. And everything in the Old Testament points to our need for Jesus today because when we didn't deserve it, God sent Jesus. When we were still dead in our sins because of his love and when we couldn't save ourselves, Jesus saved us. And I don't know who this is for, but there's somebody here. Your life is a big old mess right now. And maybe you're a little bit like me and you need a little bit of extra grace. You need a little extra forgiveness because maybe like me or maybe like Jonah, at some point you've disobeyed God's command and you've distrusted God's word and you've dishonored his name. But even though Jonah turned away from God, God still saved Jonah. And you're going to see next week, because you better come back. Come back and see the rest of the story. Because in chapter 3, it's even better than chapter 2. You're going to see in chapter 3 that God used a reluctant and disobedient prophet for his glory to reach some people. And think about how all of this went down. And this is so powerful to me. There's nothing clean about salvation. Right? I'm saved. Covered in fish mucus, bile. That's disgusting. There's nothing clean about his salvation. And some of you, you've, you've been through some stuff and you're like, yeah, but I'm not clean enough to come to church. I'm not good enough to serve. I'm not ready to be on the team because I haven't cleaned everything off of me. It's not pretty, it's nasty. In the same way God was still working in him, God is still working in you. I want you to hear it. I want you to feel it. I want you to believe it. I want you to take it deep down into your spirit that no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, God has grace for you. And God still wants to use you. In the same way that the sailors looked on and said, if God is that powerful and that good, I want to serve him. I want to fear that God. I want to tell you that our God, his grace is bigger than you can imagine. And his love for you is deeper than you can realize. And a God that good is a God that we want to serve. Your life might be messy now, but welcome to the party. If you knew the things that I was going through, wow. This is the perfect kind of person that God loves to save. Because the fish vomited him out. Salvation wasn't clean, but it was real. Salvation comes from the Lord. Salvation comes from the Lord. So, as we've learned, when you're in trouble, it's time to pray. So would you pray with me? Father, today we ask that your Holy Spirit would do a deep work in the hearts of people who need it. God, do a deep work in my heart. As we're praying, I want to talk to those of you that might be in a little bit of trouble. You're going through a hard time. It could be somebody that you love. It could be you, and you need a miracle. But you're not living in verse 10 yet. There's no miracle, and you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying, and you're praying. Good for you. Continue to be faithful. I want to give you the chance maybe to just worship God with verse 9 kind of faith. Before verse 9 kind of faith, we're going to have verse 1 kind of prayer. And this is why we're going before God. We're going to believe for miracles. We serve a God who says all things are possible with him, and then we're going to worship him with verse 9 kind of faith. So if you're praying through something right now, like just pray it out loud. You can whisper it. Think, God, I need you. God, I really need you. I need the presence and the power. Let's take it to him. Let's approach God with this. And as the worship team comes back up, maybe you've got some area in your life where you need a miracle. You need the presence. You need, God, I need you. God, for someone I love. Would you just agree with me today? Father, we come to you just like Jonah did when he didn't deserve it, because we don't deserve anything from you. And humbly, God, we just ask, do you hear the cries of our heart? We thank you, God, that your word tells us that he's faithful, effectual, passionate, and fervent prayer availeth much. God, we cry out to you. We pray for the marriages to be healed. God, we pray for the relationships to be restored. God, we pray for financial provision. God, we pray for physical miracles. We pray for healing. God, we pray that you would show up and you would show off, and that your miracles would be so real that everyone would know that this is because of the goodness of God. So we trust you. And now even though we may not see the miracle in verse 10, we will raise our voices with praise and praise you with verse 9 kind of faith. God, with shouts of joy, with adoration, with praise and worship, we will tell you, God, you are good. We worship you, not just for what you do, but for who you are. And God, even before the provision, we will praise you because you are worthy. You are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name.